listening to Alien X Radio, and this is your afternoon interview. On the line right now, I have the corrected version now. It's it's John Wayne Bosley, the director of The House That Jack Broke. How you doing today, John?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. So you got a big show coming up here, finally. You know, you do a lot of work on a movie, and I guess it's time to bring it to the people.
That is correct. It'll be in Royal Oak at the Main Art Theater at 7 p.m. on March 14th.
Sweet. And tell us a little bit about the project. I mean, what's it all about?
Basically, it's normally when you see a murder mystery, you focus on the investigators, and I decided to take a different twist. And instead, it's about a newlywed couple. She finds out she's pregnant, and then bam, FBI shows up, and they're investigating the husband related to a possible connection to a double homicide that happened 3 years before they were married. So it becomes one of these revelation ones where it's not just finding clues leading up to it, but who is this guy? Who did she marry? You know, what's really going on? And it's a series of layers to the development of the story. I kind of steal the Shrek line about the whole onion thing. It's kind of like an onion, I guess. You peel it back. So what I generally tell people if they show up and they watch the movie is go use the bathroom before you leave, before you go to sit down, and get all your popcorn and everything, because you don't want to leave in the middle of it, because people will say, like, if you miss 5 minutes, you totally miss a huge chunk. There's a lot of different clues hidden, even in these throwaway lines from Act 1. That becomes an important line by the time you get to Act 3, so you kind of want to sit there and watch the whole entire thing to totally get where it's going by the time it's done.
Sure. I've seen plenty of movies and television shows like that where you cannot miss anything because it's just so packed full of information, and you're being fed little bitty pieces as you go, and you miss a little piece and the puzzle is incomplete.
The whole thing.
Yeah. I used to feel that way when I watched the show 24 with Kiefer Sutherland.
Yep.
You know, they said, oh, did you miss last week's episode? Yeah, then just give up and wait until it comes out on DVD. You'll never, ever figure out what's going on if you miss an episode of that.
And that was kind of the feedback that I got when we did our screening in mid-Michigan, because I wanted people in the local area up here where I live a chance to see it, and a ton of people who all said, when's it come out on DVD? Because I want to buy it, because I got to dissect this thing a good, you know, 10, 20 times to figure out exactly everything that was going on, because I do have little subplots playing throughout the story. When somebody tells you that they want to buy it on DVD, that to me is the best compliment somebody can give you as a filmmaker. A lot of the popcorn movies they do in Hollywood, you watch it once and, okay, I got the show. There isn't much to see after that. It just, you know, the plot lines are pretty narrow and they're pretty straightforward. And like, this is one of those ones where it's not straightforward. It's got stuff all over the place.
And again, it's just kind of trickling information as it goes, which is what, you know, thrillers and suspense and drama is all about. You know, I mean, it's all about that. If you have the whole entire story just kind of thrown out in front of you, then what really is there left to watch?
Yeah, and one of the things that I do watch some crime shows, but I find there's too much of the same old thing over and over and over again. So I found that the crime shows that I had connected with were the ones where it wasn't about the crime. It was about the participators of the story. And with this one, it's not just who did it, why they do it, but who is the main characters, Jack and Anne? How does this affect Anne? What is she going to do? We delve into the psychology and the emotional and all kinds of different layers of a person. And it makes you think, well, you know, a crime isn't just an act. It's part of a whole picture. And my hope is that you get a mix of emotions with it. Some people called it a thriller. I considered it more of a drama. There were thriller aspects through it. But being that I'm not a big drama fan, I shot it more of the speed of an action film. So you're looking at cuts that are 3 to 5 seconds long. It's a lot faster. There's a lot more coverage to it. By the time you get done, you look at your watch and realize, wow, I was here for basically 2 hours, but it doesn't feel like 2 hours. And that's kind of what I wanted. I wanted that speed, that it feels like we're moving at a certain pace towards the end. And I always felt like a lot of dramas kind of went too slow, at least for me. And, you know, if I'm going to make a movie, I'm going to make a movie that I'd want to sit down and watch.
Well, sure, and that's why, like you said, to keep it moving like that, you got to put a lot of different information in there. So, like you said, if you miss any part of it, then you're kind of out of luck.
You're lost.
You know, exactly. But yeah. If you have those lulls in it where you can walk out for a second, then you got, like you said, that dragging feeling or that slow drama.
Yeah, and I do get a few moments where we stop for a second to kind of feel the emotion of the moment. But, you know, generally, yeah, I try to keep the pace moving along. I think with most independent films that I've seen, the scenes are long. I think most of my scenes were a minute, 2 minutes. I mean, they were just like, okay, we'll cut to the FBI, cut to this character, cut to this character. Or sometimes I would take scene, and it would be part A and B, and I would just split it in half, and I had another scene. So you've introduced two storylines running at the same time. You got your FBI, then you got these henchmen who show up, which I won't describe because you have a ruin your story for you. But there's another, you know, plot line, and they'll run, you know, parallel to each other towards a conclusion. And I've always been big on the finale. I always tell people, you know, the ending is everything. Not that it is everything, but you should have the plot should tighten together so that it has a certain amount of tension. There was a word we used back, I mean, this is way back when I was in high school, the denouement is like a French word, and I don't know if the translation was perfect, but what they told me worked for me. And it was this visual of the untying of the knot. And I said to myself, well, if the conclusion of a movie or a story is an untying of a knot, wouldn't it make sense, like the last, you know, 15, 20 minutes should be the tightening of multiple knots, build the tension? So then when you get to the end and get that great release, you're like, wow, totally didn't see that coming. And that's what I really was pushing with this one was, you know, get at the end, like, can I get all the little minor subplots and main plots all kind of tightening to one big conclusion so that the last 10, 15 minutes, you're just staring at that screen. And that was one of my biggest goals with this project. And the responses that I've been getting from people is, yeah, we did it. It definitely has that build up at the end.
Right. So it's called The House That Jack Broke. So who plays Jack?
I ended up playing Jack. We hosted auditions in Ann Arbor 2 years ago or a year ago, something like that. And it's been a long time, but 2 years ago, and we went through a ton of people. And I liked the actors we have in Michigan. I just didn't feel like I found the guy I was looking for. And eventually at the end, I was like, you know what? A certain amount of this character is based off of my personality. So what the heck? Just typecast me. I'll just take over the role and run with it. I won't do that again because it's a lot to direct and play a lead at the same time. And this character I was up and down because the character has to be very reluctant. If you're being investigated by the FBI, don't talk. Or when you talk, you know, don't give away important information. And it's very difficult to keep a certain energy, but yeah, have reluctancy. But other scenes, you're very intense. It's very extreme. And the female lead for Anne was Erica Hovland, and she is out of Royal Oak. And I would definitely say from the stuff I've viewed of a lot of the actresses in the Great Lakes area, she has got to be probably one of the best actresses in the whole entire area.
Plays the part of Anne.
And she plays the part of Anne, and she had so many extremes. I mean, I swear we put her through a crying scene at least once a day. And it was just like nonstop. Like that was my special effects, was how many tears can we get out of her? She's doing crying sad and crying angry and this. I mean, there was just so many layers of it. And it takes a certain level of energy out of you to do those types of scenes. Yeah. And, you know, you'd shoot it from this angle, then you'd cut to the next angle and the next angle, and you keep asking to keep giving the same level. And she brought it every single time, and people have been like, wow. I actually have some filmmaker friends out of New York City that had their film in a bunch of film festivals, and they watched her performance, and they said that she rocked. So, I mean, we're talking about people from New York City filmmakers commenting on hers, and that, that just says a lot about the actors in Michigan, that people from the big city areas like New York can look at our actors and say, these guys are top-notch, and she was.
Yeah, now speaking to you, saying that, you know, our Michigan actors, I mean, this is a obviously it's a Michigan-made movie, and you're premiering it in Royal Oak because I believe you said that like 90% of this movie was shot in Southeast.
In Detroit. Now,
yeah,
the
Southeast
film
Detroit.
Is set in Greenville, Maine, which is an actual town in Maine on this big, huge lake. It gave me the ability to do my aerial photography. So we shot all of this scenic stuff that I needed. Car scenes for the, there was like a steamboat scene, the aerial photography, a bunch of other stuff. But the actual acting scenes, we shot all in either Plymouth or Royal Oak, the Hamtramck Correctional Facility. There's a few other places like that we shot all in that Southeast Michigan area. And we were able to, you know, take Michigan and make it look like Maine for the stuff we needed. And it totally bought it. People would have a hard time figuring out which one was which. And the cast and crew people in Michigan are top notch. I mean, part of it also is the energy. I mean, these people are like, if you want it, let's do it. You know, and I had no complaints from the cast or the crew. They just kept on, you know, giving me 100% all the time.
That's excellent. And speaking of the cast, I'm going to play a couple little clips here from your character, Anne, who was played by, again?
Erica Hubland.
Erica Hubland?
Hubland.
Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and just play a couple clips from her real quick and be right back.
So I researched it. I was looking things up, and then the power goes out, and these men come in, and they steal the computer, and before they go, they tell me that they're watching me. They're watching me, Jack! What is going on?
You didn't go to the station yesterday, did you?
I forgot.
You forgot. You forgot. You don't forget, Jack. You remember people's names. You remember where they live. You remember what they wore. And you remember when you made me a promise.
All right, yeah. So, yeah, it sounds convincing to me, man. She's pretty upset.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's what it builds as it's going. How much can she trust this guy? Or should she? You know, and that's one of the questions the audience will find themselves really debating as the movie's going along. You know, do we want to root for this guy? Is he the good guy? Is he the bad guy? Is he something in between? And you really ain't going to figure that out till the end. But the question ends up being is, how should she deal with it?
Right, it's an interesting take. Like you said, it's not you're not in the courtroom all the time, I would imagine. You're not dealing with all this evidence and all this stuff. It's more or less what she's finding out about this guy and what she can believe from what he says, what she believes what the police are saying.
Yeah, and then she finds something in the house, in the basement, in the very first act, and that ends up being the catalyst. So the question ends up being, are you even safe in the house now? And there's people who are looking for him. Is she safe? Is she putting herself in danger just by associating with this guy? And yet, at the same time, she loves the guy. I mean, it's like that you're torn. I mean, I always imagine those people who end up dealing with being the relative of a murder suspect. I mean, you care about your family member, but at the same time, they did something wrong. And you're for yourself torn because one part of you feels like you should be loyal to them, you should care. But the other part of you is looking at it and saying, if I was on the other side, I'd totally want that guy to get an electric chair. So you're kind of torn because you really don't know how you feel when it's you. And my hope that people watch the film and they connect with her character and they say, wow, I'm not sure how I'd respond. And you feel that when you watch it.
Mm. Well, it's definitely... It's one of those movies that, you, like you said, you're going to have to just sit there and watch this movie. It sounds like it's going to take you in. You know, it'll take you in and take you for the ride. And I'm sure that's what you wanted it to do. So
yeah, and the whole time. And then hopefully at the end, and the feedback I got from people is they didn't see the ending coming. And I'm like, yes. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, was you didn't see it coming, because I hate those movies where I'm like, totally saw that like 20 minutes ago.
Right. Well, it's called The House That Jack Broke, and it is directed by John Wayne Bosley. And that is going to be premiering at Royal Oak at the Main Art Theater on Main Street at 7 p.m. on March 14th.
Yes.
Right. Well, thank you very much for joining me here on Shout Out Detroit. And if I can get down there to see it, I'm going to get down there to see it too. Because I just went to a premiere for another movie not too long ago called The Last Broadcast, which was a zombie movie series that was premiering here. That's what I'm starting to do here on Shout Out Detroit. I'm trying to get local independent films to get together here on the station and talk about it and get that information out there.
Yeah, and I really believe that if people want to see more filmmaking happening in Michigan, you've got to support the Michigan film. It's the best way of saying to the industry, fund these guys. Get the money behind these guys because we will buy their stuff. And you want the work, then you need to support the art.
Absolutely. And that goes to say with anything else, too. I mean, if you're in a local band and you don't go to any other local band shows, you know, then why would they come to your shows? You know, you have to support each other first. You know,
exactly.
You really do. You really do.